Yes, Jesus, we speak your name. We call on your name. We love your name, Jesus. Jesus, come and make your presence known to us in every possible way this morning, we pray. Unplug our ears to hear what it is that you would have us hear from you this morning, we pray. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, City Light Church. Kids, you are dismissed through the proper door. You get to go back there through door number one and door number two. Your respective grades. Excellent teachers, you're dismissed too. You can go as well. We'll let you. Good morning, church. Everyone doing well this morning? It's snowing. This is crazy. This is, we thought we were going to have summer forever, but we're not. My name's Cameron. For any of you guys who don't know me, I'm a youth leader here at City Light Church. If you are here and you're a youth between the grades of 6 and grade 12, tomorrow, 7 o'clock, be here. We'll provide you treats and candy and other such snacks. Also, you will hear the Word of God. So, snacks, the Word of God, whatever. Take your pick. I'm here to preach the Word of God this morning. And our sermon series is called Ask, Seek, Knock. I got to preach 2 weeks ago. I did the first message in this sermon series. And our Bible passage is Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and to the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Ask, seek, knock. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as I preach the word this morning, make me a conduit of your grace and your mercy. And Father, I pray that your words would flow through me to the people that are here this morning in the sanctuary and those online. Father, I pray that the words that I say would be your words and you would use your Holy Spirit to open our eyes, to open our ears, to open our hearts to see and to hear what you are doing in our lives and what you want from us this morning, Father. Bless our time together in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. My title for this message this morning is Ask, Seek, Knock, God's Plan for Discipleship. We're going to spend the morning talking about discipleship. 2 weeks ago, I talked about evangelism, knocking on the doors of people's hearts. And, we need to get out there. We need to change the conversation. We need to seek opportunities to, build into people. And this morning, I want to talk about us. I want us to take some time this morning and reflect on ourselves. And, I was on the church website, and I looked at our mission. And, we should know this, church, but it says, making biblical disciples through authentic relationships. Making biblical disciples through authentic relationships. Isn't this our mission, church? Isn't this what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to fulfill the Great Commission, go out into the world and with relationships, build the church and build disciples. But firstly, we have to become disciples, don't we? And we have to work through our own discipleship, our own sanctification, becoming more like Christ. What is a disciple? What is a disciple? The word means to follow. When they first called us Christians, it was actually a derogatory term. It was a put down to say that we followed Christ. And there have been many disciples of many different teachers and many different gurus and things over the years. But when we talk about discipleship, we are talking about growing in our relationship with Christ. That means three things to me. Discipleship is putting Jesus first and foremost in our lives. Reading and understanding and believing in His Word and then acting it out. And if you've been a Christian for 6 seconds, you know that's easier said than done, isn't it? I think we want to put Jesus first in our lives, right? We want to put Him first, but there's all this other stuff going on. There's all these distractions. We want to believe the Word, but, you have to read it to believe it. In order to read it, you need time to read it. And there's lots going on. And if you want to follow His Word, it's hard, right? He promises us suffering. He promises that the road will be hard. Few travel on it. Do we really, it's easy to take the road that's more traveled. So what is it going to take for us to grow as disciples, church? Because I want us all to reflect on three questions this morning. They are, who are you asking? What are you seeking? Where are you knocking? See how creative that is? Ask, seek, knock, right? Come on, like, it's all together. And then the who, what, where? Like, come on, that's good. Okay, no? Excellent. Who are you asking? What I mean by this is, where do you go to get your advice? Where do you go to when you're in trouble? Who do you go to? Because I don't know about you, but I find in my life, it's really easy to go to my coworkers. It's really easy to go to my friends. It's easy to go to my wife to talk to her about, you know, what's going on, what I should do when I have a problem. But, you know, maybe you're a better Christian than I am. I'm sure you are. But for me, God's like last on my speed dial list for my problems a lot of the time. I'm going to try and figure it out. I'm going to slug it out. I'm going to try this. I'm going to try that. I'm going to take someone else's advice. I'm going to do all this. And then, you know, if it all fails, I'll go to God. That's not what it should be. We as Christians, he should be our first call, right? Number one on our speed dial in everything. In every way, we should be asking God, communicating with him like we communicate with a friend. That's what a relationship's about, isn't it? But yet, I don't know about you, but so often it's easy to him to get lower and lower on the list of people I call. What are you seeking? We spend our whole lives seeking something, right? Maybe it's affirmation. Maybe it's recognition. Maybe it's more followers or tweets or Instas. I'm not up at all with social media, but you know what I mean? Whatever it is, what are you seeking? Are you seeking to fill a hole in your life? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God? Right? That's what we should be seeking, right? Isn't that what Jesus says? Seek first the kingdom of God and all things will be given unto you. Right? But how, what is that? Is it our first priority, church? Is it our third? Does it make the top 10? If we're really honest, you know, where does finishing that TV series that we're halfway through compare in seeking Jesus? Which is higher? I don't know about you, but the next episode's coming out in 20 seconds. I have to finish it. I have no choice. Like, seriously. And where are you knocking? Where are we as Christians spending our time? Where are we knocking? Whose doors are we trying to open? Are we trying to open authentic relationships? Are we opening the doors of this church, coming here and doing ministry? And I know times are different, but still we can engage even online. Or are we spending our time trying to, you know, gain in our workplace or gain influence in groups of friends or circles? Or where are we spending our time? Who are you asking? What are you seeking? Where are you knocking? It's catchy, admit it. Like, you're going to go home and think about this. Come on, this is catchy. Thank you. I just want recognition. Is it? When we talk about discipleship, I wanted to paint a picture for us with a great disciple. I would argue probably the greatest disciple that has ever lived. And he was a man by the name of Moses. Many of us know the story of Moses. There was a great movie about it. It's got awesome soundtrack. I highly recommend you watch it. But today I want to talk about Moses the disciple. I mean, this man spoke with God like he was speaking with a friend. This man spent time over and over again with God. I mean, he met with him on a mountain. How amazing was Moses' relationship with God? It's incredible. Right? Moses even got to be there for the transfiguration, right? The highlight of Jesus' ministry here on earth when he becomes the fullness of God's glory. Who's there? Moses. Why? Because he was an amazing disciple, and we can learn a lot from him this morning. When Moses came down, he gave the people the Ten Commandments. And they're all camped in the wilderness. They've just crossed the Red Sea. There's all this crazy stuff has happened. They're there in the wilderness, and they're gathered together by this mountain. And Moses comes down with these tablets, these 10 rules that they're to follow. And God says to Moses, prepare the people. Set a boundary around the mountain because I'm going to bring my presence down on the mountain. I'm going to descend upon this mountain. But if you go too close, you might die. So put a boundary so people know not to cross there. And if your sheep or your flock cross this line, they're going to die. And so Moses relates this message to the people. They prepare themselves for 3 days. And on the morning of the third day, God's presence descends on the mountain. In Exodus 20, Verse 18, it says, "Now, when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled, and they stood far off." Hold on a sec. Let's just think about this. I think sometimes in Scripture, we read it and we don't really think about the words. So imagine this. Picture a mountain in your mind. You're there. There's a pond. There's birds chirping. Everything's going great. You're there with the person you like the most. You're looking at this beautiful mountain. Maybe you're in Waterton. I don't know. Now, all of a sudden, from the mountain, you see thunder. That's not coming from the sky to the mountain, but from the mountain out, you're seeing thunder and flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain is smoking. What do? You run, right? Like, seriously, if I saw that, I'd be gone. Like, you know, I'd be out of there. And they see this, and they're afraid, the people. You've got to understand their fear here. They're literally watching God's presence descend on this mountain. They're hearing trumpets. It's craziness. And they're standing far off. They don't even want to go to the boundary line. They don't want to come close to it because they're afraid they will die. And they say to Moses, "You speak to us, and we will listen. But do not let God speak to us, lest we die." Moses said to the people, "Do not fear. For God has come to test you, that the fear of him may not be before you, may be before you, that you may not sin." They say to Moses, "Listen, we don't even want to talk to God. Just you be the middleman, because his presence is so terrifying." Discipleship is summed up in this next verse. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says, "The people stood far off while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was." Did you catch that, church? The people stood far off while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. You see, that is discipleship. It's drawing near to the darkness. It's drawing near to the fear and the everything going on, and drawing into the presence of God. Right? People are standing far off. We know Christians, people that, you know, say all the right things, go to the right Bible studies, show up at church, but yet they've spent their whole life standing far off from the presence of God because they're afraid. That is not what God is calling us to be this morning, church. We are called to be a people who draw near to where the darkness, where God is. Amen? We are called to be drawn near to God. I love this. Moses, with no fear, goes into this thunder and lightning and this darkness to encounter God. We live in a crazy world. I mean, it was crazy before COVID. COVID's just magnified it a little bit, you know, kind of brought it out to the highlights, right? We live in a crazy world. There's darkness everywhere. There is broken people. There are broken relationships. There's suicide. There's depression. There's anxiety. There's fear. There's alcoholism. There's addiction everywhere we go. I mean, that's a lot of darkness. But we, as Christians, we're not called to stand far off from the darkness. We're not called to back away. We're not called to set a boundary line and not cross it. We're called to go where? Into the darkness, just like Moses did. This is discipleship, church. It's going into the unknown. It's stepping out in faith, believing what God will do. Church, are we going to be disciples, or are we going to be the Christians who stand far off? What are we going to be? If we want to be disciples, we've got to ask ourselves those questions. Who are you asking? What are you seeking? Where are you knocking? In Exodus 33, the people are encamped, and they've been encamped for quite a while. They're living in the wilderness. And the Bible tells the story about Moses. It says in Exodus chapter 33, verse 7, "Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would rise up and each would stand at his tent door and watch Moses until he had gone into the tent. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of the cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and then the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise and worship each at his door. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend." So let's picture this. Moses sets up this tent. It's outside the camp. It's a far way off. And whenever he would go into that tent, a pillar of dust, a cloud of dust, of smoke would descend on the tent and it would cover the tent. And the people, they would stand again far off. You see the word picture. You see what I'm going for here, right? They'd stand far off and look and see with their eyes that this presence of God had descended on this tent. Meanwhile, Moses, a disciple, he wasn't standing far off and looking. He was in the tent, meeting with God, speaking with him face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Isn't that amazing, church? See, we have the Holy Spirit today. We don't need a pillar of dust. We don't need a separate tent. I mean, right now, here today, we can speak to Jesus. Isn't that amazing, church? His presence is not just around us. It's not just in our tent and in our homes. It's inside of us. I mean, we can interact with Jesus at any moment of the day, right? We can talk with him. We in our cars, at your work, wherever we are, we can meet with Jesus. But I think Moses understood something that we need to understand too. You see, he built this tent, he pitched this tent far off from camp to meet with God. And one truth that I've learned in my life is if you wake up and you start your day and you say to yourself, at some point today, I don't know when, but at some point I'm going to read my Bible. And at some point today, I'm going to pray. And at some point today, I'm going to communicate with God. You're really unlikely to actually do it. Isn't that right? See, because if we're not direct in our attempts to meet with God, what happens? We fill up, you know, stuff gets busy. The next episode goes on. The game goes into extra innings. And all of a sudden, it's the end of the day and we didn't have time. But you know what? We'll definitely do it tomorrow, right? I'm definitely going to read my Bible tomorrow. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read 2 chapters and then I'll doubly keep the devil away, right? And then what happens tomorrow? Your day fills up and stuff happens and life goes on, right? Church, if we do not make time to meet with God, are we going to meet him? See, I believe that God, he is supernatural. He can meet us where we're at. But if you want to be a disciple, it's about regularly meeting with God. Regularly pitching that tent, shutting the door, locking the children out of the room. No, don't do that. Well, I mean, maybe. I don't know your life. But seriously, we need to meet with God. We got to do this. We got to be direct about this, church. Because if we're not, it's never going to happen. Our enemy has this amazing way of just stacking up all these little things that get in the way from communicating with God. He wants to talk to us like he spoke to Moses. He wants to speak to us face to face this morning. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I interact more with the lady at Tim Hortons in Coaldale than I do with God. I'm just being honest. I go twice a day, just saying. Church, we are called to speak to God. We have an opportunity each and every moment to meet with the Creator of the world, to hear his plans for us, his purpose for us, to be comforted by him. You got something going on? Bring it to God. You got debt? Bring it to God. You got problems at work? Bring it to God. You got problems with your spouse? Bring it to God. Problems with your kids? Bring it to God. Or, you know, something coming on TV or there's something coming up. Church, Let's be disciples, bringing stuff to God, pitching a tent to specifically meet with him. Amen? Later on in this same chapter, one of the coolest things in Scripture happens. Moses is speaking with God. They're talking. And Moses says to God, I want to see you. I want to see you. Shouldn't that be the goal of each and every one of us, to see God, even while we're in the land of the living? So Moses says to God, hey, I want to see you. God says to Moses, if you see me, you're going to die. Moses says, hey, I really want to see you. So in Exodus chapter 33, verse 17, the Lord said to Moses, this very thing you have spoken, I will do. For you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Moses said, please show me your glory. And he said, I will make my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. Listen, church, listen to this. But he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock. And I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Think of this scene. What's going to happen here? Okay, listen. So Moses is there. He's standing on a rock. He wants to see the presence of God. So what God is going to do is God is going to pass by him. But while he's passing by him, he's simultaneously going to take Moses, put him in the cleft of the rock, and protect him from his presence. But also while he's passing by him and putting him in the cleft of the rock, he's also going to cover his face until he passes by so that he can go forward. Isn't this amazing? I mean, like, God has some serious reach going on here. I mean, like, he can move. This is like a complicated blocking for a scene. And yet this is exactly what happens. And God passes by and Moses sees the back of God. Isn't that amazing? We serve an incredible God who can be behind us and pass by us and be in front of us and protect us all at the same time. Amen? What a great God we serve. He's amazing. He's able. And yet, I don't know about you, but like, I fear, you know, I got anxiety, I got stuff going on, I worry and I stress out, and then, you know, I'm, what's going to happen and who's next and how many COVID cases are there, and on and on and on it goes, and I serve a God that can do all this? What? That's crazy. You know, we as a church, if we're seeking God's glory, I think the most important part about seeking is that we begin to understand how much full of glory God is. He is incredible and able to do all this stuff. He's amazing. We serve an incredible God, and yet, I don't know about you, but, you know, sometimes I just am filled with anxiety. And, you know, times with everything going on, it's easy to get caught up in that. But we serve a God who wants to let his glory pass by us. Wow. That's incredible. And what I need to change my life from, the, you know, all this stuff and focus on all these other things and seeking all this stuff, I need to change it to seeking first his kingdom. Just like Moses said, please show me your glory. You want a prayer that's going to change your life? Pray that. God, show me your glory. Because he will. And it will change you. And it will stretch you. And it will change your life if you say that prayer. God, show me your glory. Are we willing to this morning, church? Are we willing to make that our prayer, what we seek here at City Light Church? The writer of Hebrews, you know, he writes this amazing piece. It's incredible. It's really a sermon, you know, and as you read Hebrews, you can really see that he lays the foundation and he really puts out this incredible message. And in Hebrews chapter 11 is this famous chapter on faith, the Hall of Fame of Faith. And the writer goes through these different men and women of faith and what they did and what we can learn from them. And Moses is mentioned there. But in chapter 12, the writer is closing up. He's wrapping his sermon. He's hitting that climax. You know, he's getting to that. He's hammering his point home. And in Hebrews 12, there's this amazing passage as the writer sums up and hits the climax of his sermon. He says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18, "But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirit of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks of a better word than the blood of Abel." So he's writing, the writer is talking, you know, he's talking about what we have come to. He's speaking to Jews, we need to remember. Jews who had a foundation of understanding of what, you know, the Messiah would be and a Mosaic law. And he's speaking to these people that are almost there. They have so much. They've got the foundation. They know the right words. They're almost there. And the writer is talking to them about Jesus because that is what they're missing in their lives. And he's saying, listen, you know, he's talking about Mount Zion, the city of the living God. He says, you've come to this city. You've come. You're this close. You know, you're this close to having your name written in the book of life. And he says, Jesus is a new covenant. Amen? A sprinkled blood that speaks better word than the blood of Abel. And that word that Jesus is speaking is forgiveness over each and every one of us. His blood's covered us. There's no more need for sacrifice. The writer continues, "See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth. We're talking about this Mount Sinai moment when God's presence has descended. The earth is shaking. But now he has promised, once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. We're living right now in a shaken world. A world that its foundation is shaking. People are shattering. Churches are falling apart. People are falling away from the faith. Governments are collapsing in on themselves. I mean, look at the world. It is shaking right now all around us. This city is shaking. Cases are increasing. Whatever. We're shaking. But yet we serve a God that cannot be shaken. Amen? And this is where our faith is supposed to be, in a spot where it cannot be shaken. Isn't that amazing? This is our God, our firm foundation. The writer of Hebrews finishes, he says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Wow. Our God is a consuming fire. He is a foundation that cannot be shaken. He is a consuming fire. Our God is simply amazing. So my question to us, church, is this. What are we going to do? Are we going to grow as disciples? Are we going to push into the presence of God? Are we going to push into the darkness? Are we going to be unshaken in a shaken world? Or are we going to look and sound and feel like the rest of the world? Right? I mean, when people look at us, are they seeing something different? Are they seeing this firm foundation? Are they seeing the presence of God? What are they seeing when they look at us? Who are you asking? Church, we as disciples need to learn to go to God first and foremost with everything. He wants to engage with us like he's talking to a friend. I mean, he wants us to bring him everything, our hopes, our fears. I mean, beyond, I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like when I pray, you know, like I need to put on this front. Like, you know, like I got to say thou and thus and like, you know, I got to be so perfect in what I pray. God wants us to speak to him like we're speaking to a friend, like you're talking to your best buddy, you know, when everything, you know, all your masks and all your walls are down. That's what we're supposed to be like in our conversation with God. He can handle our fears and our anxieties and our stresses. He can handle it. He's God. What are you seeking? Now more than ever, are we seeking first the kingdom of God? Are we putting his will, his plan first? Or we got our own things going on? And where are you knocking? I think now more than ever, it's time for us to remind people that, you know, we go to church. Hey, what are you up to this weekend? Oh, you know, you're doing this, doing that, going to church on Sunday, listening online on Sunday. More than ever, we need to be talking about our church, because our church is a safe place. Our church is a firm place. Our church is the church of a God who's a consuming fire. You know what he wants to consume? He wants to consume our fear and our anxiety and our sin and our iniquity and put it all in his son. Isn't that amazing, church? I mean, the world needs this message, and we need to strengthen ourselves as disciples to give it. So let's go from this place, asking, seeking, knocking, and let's become better disciples together. Because when we do it together, it's always better, isn't it, church? And it's time for us. If you haven't joined a small group, it's time. If you haven't made a connection, it's time. If you haven't, you know, crossed the aisle and met someone new, it's time. Because now, more than ever, it's time for us to grow as disciples. Because when the world shakes, we stand firm on our foundation, our Heavenly Father. Amen? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer, church. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are our foundation. Thank you that you've sent men and women before us, recorded in the Bible, that we can learn so much from. I pray that we, as disciples, draw near to where you are, that we are not the type of people who stand far off, but we move forward to the place where your presence is. God, I pray that as each one of us leave this place, we would reflect, who are we asking? What are we seeking? Where are we knocking? And you would show us places where we can grow, places where we can change, relationships where we need to move to the next level. God, you have something for us. If you're here today and you are breathing, God has a plan for you. Thank you, Father, that you've shown us your glory. And I pray that for this church, that prayer that is a dangerous prayer, because you will show us your glory, Father, here at City Light. Pass by us, show us your glory. Use us as tools of your grace and your mercy. Change us and shape us, Father. Pray that each and every one of us would take a look in the mirror and reflect what we can do to grow closer to you, because you are so, so worth it. Help each one of us this week to pitch a tent and to meet with you and speak to you like we speak to our friends. No mask, no wall, no filter, God, talking, communicating with you. I believe that if we do that as a church, we're just going to start blossoming as disciples, and the fruit will grow too. Thank you, Father. If there's someone here today, listening online or here in the congregation, and you don't know this all-consuming fire, you don't know this unshakable foundation, you don't know this God who sent his Son to die for your sins and my sins, it is time. He is a great God, he is a good God, and he wants good things for us. And if you don't know him, it's time. It might seem like a huge thing, but giving your life to Christ, putting him first, is the first step in the road to discipleship. And it'll be a decision that'll change your life. It will not be all rainbows and butterflies, but it's going to be an amazing journey. And we get to spend eternity with our names written in the book of life in Mount Zion, the city of Jerusalem, in heaven with Jesus. And if you are here today and you've been, I don't know what's going on with you, you're full of fear, maybe anxiety, whatever you carry through with you, you don't have to leave with it. You can leave it here at the foot of the cross this morning. So if that's you and you want to make a commitment that'll change your life forever, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand in a few seconds. It will be the greatest decision you ever make. It's an outward sign of an inward change. So I'm going to ask you, if you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to raise your hand right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you're at home online, you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there is a button you can click and send an email. And if you're here this morning and you know you have any questions or you didn't want to raise your hand but you want to accept Jesus, you can go back to the welcome lounge and there'll be someone there to talk to you and communicate with you through your next step. Thank you, Jesus, that we got to meet this morning. I pray that as we go, when people see us, they would see your disciples. Thank you, God, for searching us and knowing us. Reveal to us the next step in our journey of discipleship. And as we go, will we spread your love with us everywhere we go. In your name, Jesus, amen.